and 100 feet up, silhouetted against the skyline of Coruscant, we see a figure in a black cloak, which is billowing in the wind. Behind them, the lightning from that distant storm crashes. You can see the flashes and the boom of thunder. And looking down over Little Onderon and Dak Avenue, they see the blaster shots and feel somebody using the Force. They drop down from the top of the building that they were perched on, down and down into the skylands, passing speeders, passing ships as they fly up into the atmosphere, and they land in front of this convenience store. They take the closest person that they can find, somebody running and screaming from this place, and grab them and hold them and ignite the red lightsaber in front of them.
Jedi, come out. It is time.
So Park kind of starts to approach the shattered window, the door, and this new antagonist. Does he recognize? I think he recognizes the voice.
Yeah, he sees the same armor that he saw earlier in the day. He sees the helmet, the shining black. He hears that same voice.
There's no hiding now, Jedi. Come out, and we will end this.
And this guy has a hostage?
He does. He's got an Ithorian in his arms, the lightsaber to their long neck.
I think Park is going to think of something clever, but has to do what this guy says. I don't know if this is going to pay off in any way. Maybe as he is about to walk out to open, he takes out one of his little probe friends.
One of his little butterbug remotes?
Yeah, a butterbug remote.
What are you going to do with it?
Just click a couple buttons on it, like activate it. It kind of whirs to life. And he communicates to it, says,
You stay here. Just in case I need you, need a distraction, need a little help later. And if I don't, I'll come back for you.
And it beeps and whirs and hovers off.
And he walks out into the rainy Coruscant night.
I think just as he walks out, he gets out of this convenience store and out into the open, and the rain starts pouring down. You can see it sizzling off of the red blade, its glow accentuated by the water falling around it. And this person puts their helmet up, the visor up, and you can see their red face with the yellow markings there. They smile, a menacing smile full of jagged teeth, and say,
"Ah, there you are.
Everything's fine. Just let go of that hostage, and we can talk."
"Yes, we can talk. You will be coming with me."
"And where is it that you plan to take me?"
"That is for me to know, for you to find."
"And what am I supposed to call you? What exactly are you?"
"I have no name."
"Okay, fair enough. That's going to make things difficult. Difficult to hold a conversation with someone without a name, but I'll do my best."
"Simply put, you can call me friend or you can call me enemy. In the next few moments, we'll show which of those you can call me."
"Just let go of that hostage and I'll come with you. You've got the Force. You can subdue me. If I try and run, you can stop me. Let's just make this the two of us."
"That is a good idea."
And he puts out his non-lightsaber hand. He puts out his right hand and makes sort of a claw gesture towards you, turns his hand, and you feel yourself being pulled forward towards him.
Am I able to resist this in any way?
How would you do that?
Good question. I can enhance my resilience using the Force.
Okay. I don't think this is resilience yet.
Okay. So I'm getting pulled.
Is there anything else you can enhance?
I can enhance brawn, or I guess that should probably be brawl. I can enhance my jump, but I don't know if I can do that once I've been ensnared by the Force. And also enhance my athletics.
Yeah.
That seems like the same thing as jump.
It's not.
It's not because of the way the talent tree spells it all out.
So you could attempt an athletics check with your force die.
To jump out of the way of a force grab.
To try and use the force to get the grab off of you.
I see.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's going to be hard. It's going to be three purples because we got three dark sides. And I think there's a setback because there are other threats like the hostage.
You said athletics?
Yeah.
Athletics, I add a force die.
You add your force rating, which is one, yeah. One force die.
Interesting. I rolled zero success, two threat, and two light side.
Okay, so you can use your light side as successes or advantages.
I'm going to use them as advantages.
And then not succeed?
Good point.
You could use them as one success and one advantage and have a success and one threat instead of zero successes and two threats.
Wow, interesting. Okay, I'll do that. So I want him to like push off the ground hard with the force, and it's enough of a push that he is going to break the pull of this, what Doug assumes to be Inquisitor. And with my advantage, I think that this Inquisitor needs to, their perhaps concentration or strain is pulled a little bit. And I wanted to use one advantage to say that the hostage could get away.
Well, you end up with one success and one threat. So what happens is you jump off back, pushing through the pull. And as you do that, this person is pulled forward a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So we are doing hard way.
And he pushes the hostage out of the way, ignites the other side of his lightsaber. Mm-hmm. And as the second robber runs past him, he just spins the lightsaber back and impales that robber, who falls to the ground, his gun clattering off.
This is going to be fun.
And he jumps after you.
Ignite your lightsaber, Jedi.
Connie is packing up camp. She's rolled up her tarp with its fastenings, shoved it into her bag. She's a little grumpy due to her lack of sleep from a dumb cat, and she's considering whether or not she wants to go to the settlement. She sort of tries to think about what the usual habitat of the Fanged cats are, like plains to trees. Are they in the Badlands? Maybe the Badlands would be better for this, but how much shelter would the Badlands really have? The mountains? Yeah. Like, she picked the trees specifically, the forest, specifically for shelter. And honestly, it's been 2 weeks that she's been on this planet, and she hasn't seen anyone but just Dresselians. It's getting a little worrying. Does Connie speak Dresselian?
I think so.
I think so, too. I think she's going to head into the settlement.
As you walk through the forest, I would like a perception check.
Okay.
Let's make it an average perception check.
Two greens and two purples. I'll go ahead and give myself a setback for being sleepy that I can take away.
Sure. That sounds great. I thought you had something for perception checks. I guess not. Okay.
I have keen eyed.
Yes.
But I don't have uncanny senses, if that's what you're thinking of.
Okay. That is what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, I don't have that. Okay. Two green, two purple. I'm a hit roll. But what if I had force die for senses as well?
Because you have sense?
Yeah. And I'm just walking through the forest, and I know I have a big cat problem. A big cat problem.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. One success, three threats, and two light side pips.
How do you want to use those light sides? Cancel out two of those threats?
Yes.
Okay. As you begin to walk towards this village that you know is close by in these woods, you have your senses out, your force feelers out. You can feel those same things that you felt all those years ago, the plants, the animals, the insects, the grass, the worms beneath your feet. And then you come upon a void in the forest, a place where there aren't really any creatures. It seems like the creatures are avoiding it.
Connie's steps slow, and she turns towards the void. What do her eyes see?
Your eyes see white armor with yellow markings on it. Familiar clone armor with familiar lightsaber wounds.
Like, just stretched out in the grass?
Or just lying on the ground.
How I walk over to investigate. How old is this?
It is only a few days, probably. A
few days. There were clones in the area only a few days ago. Well, I guess a few days ago, I was probably quite a few miles away. It's my first sign of other non-native beings, and it confirms both clone troopers on the planet and also another Jedi on the planet. Okay. Are there any... I know it's been a few days, but has it been raining at all those few days? Has it been, like, dry?
I think it's been pretty dry.
Are there any discernible tracks in the ground, sort of giving an idea of direction?
That sounds like a survival check.
It does sound like a survival check, yeah.
It's going to be a 4 purple survival check.
Daunting.
Yes, daunting.
0 successes and a threat.
You do not notice any tracks.
How far away from the settlement are we?
3/4 of a mile, maybe.
Okay.
Pretty close. And I think as you begin to move in the direction of the settlement, the terrain gets a little bit more rough. And I'll use that threat to give you a little strain as you make your way across these rocky outcroppings. And as this forest turns a little bit more hilly, I think there are valleys and bluffs that you have to climb up and down.
So 1 strain?
Yeah.
Okay.
1 itty bitty strain. And as you climb up a bluff, you see the raised earth walls of the town that you know is here. It is a pretty typical Dresselian town. I think as you enter it, a lot of people look towards you, especially because you are pink.
I'm pink.
Yeah. And you hear some whispers around you, people talking about you quietly in doorways and in around the corners of buildings. And I think somebody approaches you and they say, "Hello, outsider."
Hello.
"We don't see very many people not from around here.
What brings you?" "No, I imagine not."
"To our lovely town."
"Trade and local gossip. And I have a fanged cat problem. How do I deal with that thing?"
"There are no fanged cats around here."
"Tell that to the one that stalked me last night."
"If you've come for trade, we can do that with you, but we must say you have to be out of here by sundown."
"So that the fanged cat doesn't come into the settlement?"
"We have had some issues lately. Not fanged cat related."
"Other outsiders related?"
"Other outsiders related."
"Ones like me or ones wearing armor?"
"No armor."
"Why do I need to be out of the settlement by sundown? Because of other outsiders?"
"Because of the safety of our people."
"Okay, I guess fair. I don't know what threat I would pose."
"No, I must say you do not look like much of a threat." And he laughs. Come in. Speak with our elders, trade with our traders."
Yeah. I imagine I have some foraged items and a little bit of the meat that I cured for trade.
You trade with the traders. The person you trade with is wearing a nice earthy blue cloak. They look a little bit fancier than your average everyday local. And as you finish up your trade, I think this all happens in that big central building that all Dresselian towns have.
Yeah.
One of the elders of this village approaches you. And as you are aware of the customs, they always like to hear the story of an outsider. So she comes to you and says, "Hello, young one. Do you have a story to share?" And she sits down across the fire from you. I think the fire is just barely burning. It's not nighttime yet, so they have it burning, but not fully blazing.
"I give her a story of... My first thought was of the Graham Orbital Observatory, but I feel like that would be too revealing to anyone who might hear that story out later. So instead, a story of a song and how a lost youngling hears a song that guides them through long periods of just blue light and uncertain times of through loneliness and fear.
We all know this song, young one. And it is a song many hear but few sing. My nephew tells me that you're having a problem with a fanged cat.
Yeah. It decided to show up at my camp last night after I thought I had sent it away in the plains and that maybe it wouldn't have any further interest in me, but it showed up at my camp last night in the forest. Definitely threatening, though it left when I showed no fear.
It must have been following you for many days. Fanged cats don't live in this part of the continent.
Well, I can't be easier prey than a rockhorn. I have no idea why it would have such a vested interest in me to travel far outside of its habitat.
It is very strange, but strange things have been happening in these past few days.
Like what?
My nephew tells me that he told you must leave at sundown. We had a visitor, another outsider, not 2 days ago, who was angry, lashed out at a few of the hunters as they came back from their hunt. He held a sword of light and threatened my people.
What did he look like? I know...
He had a long face like that of a rockhorn. He had long hair on his face and his head, short hair everywhere else. He was wearing simple clothes.
And his sword of light, what color was it? Green? Blue?
It was purple.
Purple. Does this description match up with any Jedi that Connie would know?
There are 100,000 Jedi? Or 10,000 Jedi?
10,000 Jedi.
10,000 Jedi.
But this one, it was, you know, at her master's favorite planet.
It's true.
And knew her, well, no, she did say her name.
Did Connie know Anames?
I feel like their masters were friends. And I don't remember where that feeling comes from. Like,
yeah,
where that was discussed. But I think their masters were friends.
This sounds like Master Jiva.
But angry and threatening?
That does not sound like Master Jiva.
Yeah. I think I may know this outsider. Does he come every night?
No, he only came the one time.
The one time.
We close our gates at night. We haven't had to do that in many years.
Oh, okay. I have to leave so I'm not an outsider in the village. Not because I'm the threat personally, not because I might attract a threat.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. What did he say? What direction he was heading in? Like, in this altercation, are there any hints or clues on where I might find him?
He went to the east. He followed the river as he was leaving.
Followed the river to the east.
Scouts tracked him a few miles outside of town before they were sure that he was not coming back.
Okay, that's good to know. Well, if he's been behaving in any sort of way as I've been behaving on this planet, he probably will not be back. Neither will I. Though I appreciate your kindness, hospitality, and trading with me.
Safe travels, young one.
Safe travels, elder.
As you get up to leave this open circular building, you feel a small hand on your wrist as you get to the door. You see this old, wrinkled woman, 2 feet shorter than you. She's holding a cane. She's got long, flowing clothes and wears the colors of an elder.
I stoop to respectfully be at her eye level to hear what she has to say.
You are being stalked by the fanged cat. What color is it?
Sort of a gray-black color.
You have seen the ghost cat.
Ghost cat. What is the ghost cat?
Our legends tell of a powerful warrior who will take something important from this planet. Our legends call her the ghost cat. She is person, yet fang cat.
So the ghost cat, the fanged cat that's been stalking me, is also a person who is going to take something very important from Dressel?
They are a creature beyond what you and I know. The stories speak as if they are fact. Many interpret it to be that those who see the ghost cat are marked with destiny.
Well, here's hoping that destiny isn't to be eaten by the ghost cat. And she just sort of pats the old lady's, the elder's hand on her arm and leaves.
I think she reaches out for your hand and puts something in it and closes it before you walk away.
Just sort of nod my head with a small smile and go.
And as you begin to walk out of town, your newly traded items in your bag, you open up your hand and you find a little, almost looks like a compass. It's a little like closed locket sort of thing. And you open it up and it's just filled with like a black charcoal powder.
Strange. I close it back up so none of the powder falls out, and I put it in my pocket. Is this supposed to help with the ghost cat?
And there's a screen wipe. Connie finds herself among a group of Dresselians, her masters, back at the village. Hakdo is leading. Each of them has a small container. Some of them have a little pouch. Some of them have sort of a locket sort of thing. Each of them contains this black charcoal powder that they paint on their faces, stripes, as they go and prepare for the hunt. Hakdo takes from his and paints on your face with his hands and hands you their traditional hunting weapon, a slug thrower. What do you think you're hunting today?
Is it rockhorn?
You tell me. It could be something else. You want to hunt sky grazers?
Ooh, yeah, sure.
Is this still Connie's first trip to Dressel? Or are we a few years later?
I feel like it should still be before the Clone Wars, but yeah, maybe like a year later.
Okay.
So
Connie is more familiar with the language, and Hakdo is able to speak his language that you can understand. He is telling you about sky grazers, these large flying herbivores. They've got these long necks, beaks. They use to strip needles from the highest branches of the pines to the south of our village. They travel in flocks, and we should be seeing some soon. It is the season of their migration. And though I am leading this hunt, your master asked for me to allow you the honor of tracking.
Little internal like, what? That's a lot of responsibility.
Sky grazers are difficult to track. They spend most of their time in the air. When they do come down to earth, it is only to the tops of these pine trees. Two sky grazers should feed the village for days.
I am honored to take on this responsibility. Well, internally, she's feeling like a lot of like, that's two grazers to feed the whole village for days. And I'm the one who has to find them. And it's my fault if we don't find them. And then everybody has to go hungry for a little bit. That's why. It's fine. If he didn't think I could do this, he wouldn't have suggested it. So gonna do my best, even if I don't think I can.
How would Connie go about tracking these flying creatures as you go out with this group of a dozen or so Dresselians?
Well, they're flying, so they're not going to leave like footprints, but they might leave droppings.
They might. I think you are also on the back of Planes Runners, which are these large birds. Plains runner translating to basic, they're Selselli birds. And so as this group goes out into the fields outside this village, you are looking for droppings.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get a check.
So I'm like, we're out in the plains, but they are like forest grazers. They graze on tree tops.
They eat pine needles, pine cones.
So obviously once we head to the forest, looking for any obvious signs of grazing and droppings and okay. So survival check.
Survival.
Gonna add a boost die for my tracking.
Okay. I'm going to make it average, but I'm going to flip a destiny point to make it a purple and a red.
Okay. Did you want to attempt to add more than one setback die?
There is a setback die because you are looking for droppings in tall grass.
Which I get to remove.
A setback die because Hakdo keeps talking to you. He's asking why you think your master asked for you to have this honor and responsibility. And he's curious of what lesson you might think your master wants you to learn.
That is distracting, yes. I don't know. He rarely explains himself to me. Two failures and two advantages.
Uh-huh.
I often don't. If he bothers to explain himself to me, it is always after the fact.
That is the way with many teachers.
So it might just be because he knows I can do it and wants me to know that I can do it. I don't know. I don't see any signs of what direction this flock might have gone.
Perhaps it is a lesson of futility and the fact that not every hunt is a successful hunt.
I mean, I suppose that there are dried ration storage to fall back upon if there's no fresh hunt. So everybody's not going to go hungry.
Do you have ideas for your two advantages?
My two advantages are that even though I don't see any indication of a flock being around or nearby, we at least have moved from the grasslands towards a forested area or maybe like a copse of trees or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So as you get close to these a few tall, tall pine trees. I think they're not quite redwoods, but still very, very tall. You have no sign of these birds. And I think there are some disheartening whispers from the back of this group of hunters that are probably talking about you and your tracking skills.
Just sort of lean over to whisper to Hakdo, am I looking for the right signs?
The droppings are hard to spot, especially with the tall grass. The birds do like trees like this, but there has to be water nearby as well.
Just sort of stop and pause and try and listen for any sort of water.
One of the other Dresselians begins to climb one of these trees to get a lookout.
Connie is looking at vegetation, seeing which plants that she knows are more reliant on lots of moisture and which plants are more reliant on dryness, and following the seeing if she can find a body of water that way, seeing if maybe there are tracks on the ground of a game trail towards water.
Looking out from astride your Selselli bird, you see these dusty colored grasses that you know have deep, deep roots that don't need to be near a water source to get to water. Off in the distance, you see greener grasses and leafy plants that will probably be adjacent to wetlands.
So that way, Connie sort of like flicks the reins and guides her plains runner mount towards the wetland.
And the rest of the Dresselians flick their reins and follow behind. There's a screen. Thank you for listening to this episode of Coruscant Nights. Connie was played by Erica Goodwitch. For more from Erica, visit goodwitchstudios.com. Park was played by Doug. For more from Doug, visit voidboy.art.
Thank you to AJ for donating for Destiny for this episode. If you like Coruscant Nights and want to support all of Nightcast Creative's shows, please visit us at patreon.com/CoruscantNights. Coruscant Nights is produced by Nightcast Creative. For more about us and the things that we do, visit nightcastcreative.com.